Welcome, everyone, to this week's edition of Inside Harvard Football. Inside Harvard Football, presented by the Harvard Coop, a Harvard tradition since 1882. And as always, we have our time with head coach Andy Orrick as the Crimson just take a look back to last Saturday's results in FLA, an auspicious start to the 2025 campaign, the 151st in the history of Harvard football. And now it is on to Brown, the Ivy League opener, and a big night to celebrate with the dedication of Tim Murphy Field. Coach, welcome, and a reminder that your spot is sponsored by the Harvard Federal Credit Union. From big wins to everyday plays, they are here to help you and the Crimson move the chains. Welcome, and as we talked about a little bit on air just a moment ago, successful business trip to Florida to get things started.
Yeah, it was a long trip. You got to come back with the W if you make that long of a trip. So happy with how things went, and pretty smooth travel experience as well.
Indeed it was, and I guess with looking back to Saturday, was it as hot as advertised on the field? It seemed like there might have been just a little bit of a break, or am I completely wrong because I was upstairs?
I thought it was going to be more hot. I thought it was going to be really, really humid, but there was just enough of a breeze, and also just, you know, random cloud coverage that it wasn't as noticeable. Plus, the team did a really, really good job of hydrating leading up all week. So there was really no effects to where we had any issues with guys, you know, cramping or anything like that. They prepared the right way for it.
Well, indeed the case, and prepared from the get-go. And the get-go happened to be Stenson rolling the dice with an onside kick to begin the game. That surprised you at all? Did you think that might be in the offing?
I knew something was off just because they were in the middle of the field with the ball and huddled, which they hadn't done. But it happened so fast that we didn't necessarily get to, like, communicate out to the guys to kind of huddle around the middle there. But, you know, Dorsey Benefield was on point and aware and jumped right on the ball, so couldn't have gone better.
No, indeed, and just a great start, a fast start. When you look back, that it was 28-0 at the end of the first quarter, 45-0 at halftime, and checked a lot of boxes right from the outset of the game. Case in point, you were able to get Jaden Craig time. He threw for two touchdown passes. He was 10-13 for over 200 yards, got him in and got him out of there. You were able to rest him in the second half and get Dante Torres some much-needed game reps.
Yeah, I thought Jaden played really, really well, just throwing the ball really well and putting it in the right spot, even in tight windows. The offensive line did a great job, so he was able to stand back there and deliver the ball. And it was – you know, it was very intentional. We knew going in the game, and the players, I don't sugarcoat it for them, we knew we were better than this team. The plan was to get Dante in there and let him run the offense because he really didn't have any experience with that. Even though he played a little bit last year versus Stetson, it was a lot of just handing the ball off, whereas this time we wanted to truly run the offense. And I was not happy with the interception that we threw, but I was happy with his response after that and how he bounced back and was able to execute. So, you know, those were valuable reps for him as we move forward.
And Torres able to actually navigate the longest drive, the touchdown drive, 9 plays, 70 yards in the second half. Getting back to Jaden for a moment, I thought if you were going to pick one play out that was just beautifully executed all the way, Tattersall, the freshman receiver, hooking up on that 69-yard touchdown pass. I don't think he could throw a better ball, and Tattersall, I don't think, could have beat the coverage any more than he did. It was just great on both ends.
Yeah, high level of execution everywhere. Protection was great, and, you know, hit him right in stride, so he was able to take off for the touchdown. That was exciting to see. They had not connected a ton during training camp because Tattersall has been kind of, you know, rising up the depth chart. So, you know, he was not necessarily getting reps with Jaden throwing a ton, but as of recently, that's been happening, and I know Jaden feels comfortable with him because he's a big target that can run and catches the ball really well.
Also hit Dean Boyd on the 29-yard touchdown pass, so the two TD passes for Craig. You got time for Torres. You also got a good look at DJ Gordon running the football, among others, in the backfield when you had five rushing touchdowns among five players overall. That's spreading it around. Mike and I were really going deep on the depth chart there as there was more horses that were brought into the race.
Yeah, DJ is really unique because he's you know, cut from the same cloth as Charles, where he can do a little bit of everything. We didn't really feel the need to have to fully use that this past week. It was more about seeing him with the ball in his hand versus an opponent, and he lived up to the billing and the expectations we had for him, just with the opportunities he got. That the running back room is very deep. That was, you know, that was intentional. That's how I envisioned that room working all year, just because there's so many talented players in there. And, you know, always talking about how we got to make sure we get touches to the right people. That room has a lot of deserving guys in it. So to get them all productive work was very valuable. And, you know, the goal is that, you know, as Coach Fine has continued to do, is come up with different ways to get them the ball. And, you know, I'm sure he's got some more wrinkles headed towards this week.
No doubt. And all of them really present unique skill sets there, Coach, when you look at it. Case in point was Isaiah Bullock, and I think he's going to be really effective potentially in short yardage situations.
Yeah, he is he's 240 pounds. Very hard for people to tackle. Runs people over. And, you know, he had that fumble down in the red zone. And, you know, we went right back to him because I wanted to see how he responded. And he got the job done, got the ball in the end zone two plays later. And, you know, definitely someone we can use with that skill set is to get us those tough yards when you need him in short yardage. And beyond that, just with, you know, normal calls and give him the ball.
473 yards of total offense. The overall effort was very impressive. And when you look over to the other side of the ball, also impressive there. Just gave up the one score after the game was really long decided. And a number of guys that stepped up in terms of the defensive effort. Your captain, Ty Bartram, he's not surprisingly our Crimson Profile here this week. Four tackles, caused a fumble, also allowed you to get some of the starters out and allowed you to play so many different guys in there. But Bartram leading by example and leading overall, and just a good time maybe to just ask about your assessment of him as the captain, bringing the team all the way from the Monday after the Yale game through the off season and now to the season.
Yeah, he's done a really, really good job. I would say last year, though he would speak up, he was more of a leader by example. And you can tell that when he got named captain, like, his whole mindset changed. And he brings so much positive energy out of practice to both sides of the ball. And you know, I always give him time to speak to the team during practice. And, you know, similar to Shane, like, you know, he's pretty intentional with what he's saying to the team. It's not just off the cuff, whatever he's thinking about off the top of his head. It's there's some plan to it. So he's done a great job. I'm really happy with, you know, his leadership.
Leading an experienced unit back there with the Crimson secondary and the defensive backs room. Linebackers, you knew there was going to be a transition at that position. And, transition was pretty successful in terms of the performance, particularly from Jaden Kinlock. Very happy to be home in the state of Florida with 11 combined tackles.
Yeah, he likes that Florida heat, I guess. Production, you know, that's what we're looking for from that group, you know, especially versus Stetson. We knew they were going to not get up to our linebackers, so we were going to be in a position to make the plays. And, you know, what we needed to see from Jaden was him when he was in the position to make the play, and he did a really good job of that on Saturday.
No question. And you certainly tipped us off about Christian Nwosu up front on the defensive line. Offensive line, talking about him being a really potentially so disruptive in terms of harassing quarterbacks and potential sacks. Well, he had a sack, he had a recovered fumble, and the time that he spent, he certainly was disruptive and a big impact guy.
Yeah, and he didn't play a lot of snaps because we, you know, were subbing a lot of guys, and then once we made the substitutions, he was a guy that we kept out. But the sky's the limit for him. He's had a great training camp, and he is very disruptive. So I'm expecting big things from him moving forward, especially this week.
And Damian Henderson also, not one but two turnovers, recovered fumble, an INT. And I'm just thinking back, can it be, boy, time flies, can it be 2 years since he was really thrown into the fire very early on as a freshman because of the injuries early on in the 2023 campaign. But he looks every bit the veteran in his play, leading one of the leading members of that secondary.
Yeah, that interception was just a great play because it was all about his preparation and film study. And we knew based off the formation that they were in on third down, they only had one pass concept and they ran it. And he kind of, made the quarterback feel like it was more open than it was and then was ready to go up and get the ball when he threw it. So it was a great play, and it had more to do about what he did during the week than really had to do on that individual play. So that was great to see because, when those things happen, you can really reinforce with the guys how important it is to prepare for your opponent and know your opponent. So I was really happy with that one.
Special teams, Dylan Fingrish was perfect, 8 for 8 on extra points, and also had the opportunity to put a 38-yard field goal. So it looks like your rotation there between the long man, the short man, Carr with the kickoffs, and Fingrish with the short game is working out nicely.
Yeah, he solid all day. Kieran Core with the kickoffs, I mean, he was kicking the ball so well, and there was a very strong wind. So, we scored those 4 touchdowns in the first quarter, and he had the wind at his back and was kicking it, into the back of the end zone, and we were kicking from the 35. And I was like, all right, we'll see what happens when we flip this thing around and with the wind in our face. And, he had one miss hit, and he might be embarrassed when I tell you this, but he forgot to bring the tee out. So he was in a panic. And then he missed it when he was out there. But all the other ones were great hits as well. So, but you get into Harvard Stadium now, and there's some wind. Yeah. It doesn't matter what's happening anywhere else. There's going to be wind in Harvard Stadium. So, and he knows that. So he's a weapon doing all those kickoffs. I mean, he's a guy who can just really erase that entire part of the game for the opponent if they are a team who really leans on trying to bring the ball out. I mean, he just takes it away. And so it was a great start for him, and it was a great start for Dylan. He said to me, Kieran said to me pregame, Coach, I'm good from 65 with the win at back. And I was like, all right, man, if I get the opportunity, okay. I'll think about it. But I did not take him up on that.
No, did not have the opportunity. But good to know the confidence is there, and certainly the strength of the leg is there. No doubt about that. That is a weapon. And you talked last week when we were at Charlie's Kitchen on our season preview, John Batty taking over the long snapping with Kirkwood now as the backup. He's getting reps starting in the linebacker position. He seemed to be perfect on the operation, along with Brian Checkley, your new punter, as the holder. And Checkley didn't have a lot of opportunities, but he looked like he had some confidence also.
Yeah, that was good to see. He had been early in training camp a little inconsistent, and then really started to come on the last week and a half. And what you saw, on Saturday was what we saw the last week and a half. High balls, a lot of hang time, and the one just some bad communication. Otherwise, we would have got that one down immediately. But I mean, he was 40 plus. That's what we expect out of him. And it's Jack Bade. Only reason I'm telling you that is because his name has been bothering me, and I literally ask him every time I see him to make sure I pronounce that right. He's elite. He's an elite long snapper, short snapper. So we're really happy to have him. He doesn't flinch, and that's what you want from that position.
No doubt. Impressive there with the transition in that area of the team. And now it is on to Brown and the Ivy League opener for the Crimson. And it'll be Saturday Night Lights and an emotional evening with the dedication of the field to Coach Murphy officially. Just to give us some insight about Brown and your expectations. They also had a relatively easy time with Georgetown. And Georgetown team that had been prolific, averaging 40 points a game, 450 yards of total offense for their first three games. And they got absolutely stifled by Brown in another real one-sided game, 46-0.
Yeah, starting with their special teams, they brought in a new coach who's I can't tell if he's partially doing special teams. They're doing all the special teams, but they definitely are doing some different stuff schematically that is challenging. So, you know, we have to hang our hat on being a team that's going to win the special teams battle. And they add a new layer, just being a little more challenging with some of the stuff they're doing. But our guys have had a good week preparing for it. And, you know, I think, you know, offensively, they always score points. That's never an issue. And, you know, they replacing a starting quarterback who started the last 3 years. And, you know, James Murphy, their starter, he's picked right up where the other one left off. Looked really good in their first game. They're really deep at running back. You know, Matt Childs was the freshman of the year in the Ivy League last year. But I think they had four running backs score touchdowns. You know, they're all really good backs. And they look improved up front, running the ball well. And, you know, they graduated a number of receivers too, but they were so deep last year with at receiver where they may have lost the starters, but the guys who are back, they played a lot of football for them last year. So, you know, offensively, it's really what they've been for a while. And, you know, they challenge you with playing some tempo. They challenge you with, you know, giving you some unique looks and some trick plays. So, you know, there's a lot of preparation goes into it. You know, Coach Larkey has had the opportunity to prepare for this offense for a long time. So, you know, the new wrinkles really stand out when you see him because the offense has, you know, essentially he's been going against him since James was at Princeton as the offensive coordinator all the way through until he ended up back at Brown. So, you know, presents a really good challenge for us for sure. And then, you know, defensively, they brought in a new defensive coordinator and I was really impressed with their defense. You know, they play really, really hard. They didn't necessarily do a lot schematically in the game, but they didn't have to because their guys were just playing so hard, pursuing the football, being disruptive in their front seven. And when a team does that, like they're bringing so much energy and physicality, you got to match it. So I've been real impressed with them. I mean, they have some pass rushers. They had 9 sacks in the game. You know, Tommy Dunn is, you know, I don't know if he's an outside linebacker or a defensive end because their front kind of changes a little bit, but he's really impressive. I was told that his dad's a Harvard alum. I don't know how he didn't end up at Harvard, but he had 3 sacks in the game, and then his backup had 3 sacks. Those guys are really, really disruptive. But it's their whole front. Their whole D-line is really impressive. It'll be a really good matchup for our offensive line. I think our offensive line is really strong. So, you know, to get an opportunity to go against a group like this, I know they're really excited for it. So, you know, I'm excited. This is a great challenge for us to go against a team that clearly is much improved and playing at a high level right now, right out of the gate. They played a more challenging opponent the first week than we did, and did that to them. So our guys are going about their business the right way and preparing the right way, knowing that this is going to be a big challenge for us.
No doubt. A school record, Coach, with the 9 sacks, and you mentioned with what they did on the defensive side in addition to not really breaking stride, if you will, with James Murphy, now the heir apparent to Jake Wilcox at the quarterback position. And, of course, we talked a little bit leading up to the season, even back into the summer, about this being the Ivy League opener and not lost in terms of your presentation to the team this week. In case anybody forgot about last year and rushing the field, I know you're there to remind them about what happened down in Providence a year ago.
Yep, they saw a nice picture that I took in the team meeting on Sunday, just to remind them. Not that they necessarily needed that motivation because these guys remember what happened. But, you know, the point that I made to them is like, you know, after that game last year, our back was against the wall, and then we went and won 7 straight games. Well, the only way you can guarantee that you're going to the playoffs is you win every other game. So your back's already against the wall, and that's the mindset that you have to have entering this week, and the guys have gone about their business the right way with that in mind for sure.
Indeed the case. Well, we're ready for Saturday, and getting the club ready for Saturday. Ivy League opener, home opener, dedication to Tim Murphy Field. There's quite a combination for you, and should be a big crowd there under the lights at the stadium, at Harvard Stadium. Coach, thanks very much for joining us as always. Great to spend time with you here this week. And we'll look forward to seeing you on Friday once again at Grafton Street, and then on Saturday. So all the best in preparation.
Thank you, Bernie. Get out to the game. They're telling me it's going to be a huge crowd. Still seats available. Let's fill this thing.
Let's fill it, and let's be loud and be colored crimson on Saturday night. That's what we're looking for. Coach Andy Orrick, as always, with his time here on Inside Harvard Football, and his segment sponsored by the Harvard Federal Credit Union. From big wins to everyday plays, here to help you and the Crimson move the chains. All on Inside Harvard Football, presented by the Harvard Coop, Harvard tradition since 1882. All right. Thanks very much, Coach.
Absolutely. I will see you Friday.
Absolutely. We'll see you Friday at lunchtime at back to where we did the first show there last year with Grafton. So we'll have a little town hall, and yeah, hopefully the stadium's going to be filled on Saturday night. It'll be a great atmosphere.
Yeah, they told me they've already sold more tickets for this one than they had in there last year, so, or 2 years ago. So, and I heard 2 years ago was a really good crowd. So.
2 years ago was a great crowd and a really good football game. That was a Friday night game, and that's really encouraging to hear. So, yeah, let's hope we can fill the place, you know?
Yep, absolutely.
All right. All right. Thanks, Coach.
Thanks, Bernie. Yep.
We'll see you Friday. Okay.
Yep, you got it.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And coming up for Inside Harvard Football, we've got Captain Ty Bartram, and he is coming up to join us in 3, 2, 1. Well, welcome back, everyone, to this week's edition of Inside Harvard Football. Inside Harvard Football presented by our friends at the Coop, a Harvard tradition since 1882. Well, when you talk about tradition and you talk about Harvard football, it's all in the number. Last year was the 150th anniversary, so that means that this year is season 151 and the 151st captain. That very distinguished honor falls to senior safety out of Pomeroy, Ohio, his hometown, although he traveled, made a number of stops there over the course of his time on his way to Harvard, Ty Bartram. Ty, welcome, and welcome to the captaincy of this Harvard program. Quite an honor for you this year.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I just want to say thanks for having me on.
Always a pleasure to have a chance to talk to you, Ty. And looking at this season, we'll get to last Saturday, this Saturday. But what the off season meant to you as coming back. I mean, it's obviously there's great responsibility to come back as a student athlete at Harvard and as a member of the football team, but the added responsibility of coming back as the captain, the guy with the C on the jersey, and the guy that is now entrusted to lead this program. The off season, I'm sure, was a little bit different for you.
Yes, sir. Yeah, no, it was good. I mean, it starts right after that Yale game. We have our banquet that Monday, and then we get rolling. So the spring was great. Winter workout was awesome. Summer was great. Had a lot of guys up here getting better. A hungry group, I would say. A lot of guys that want to prove themselves. A lot of guys that haven't been in a game, really, in big time games. So it'll be exciting to see this Saturday. A lot of new names and a lot of hungry dogs out there.
No doubt, want to see those hungry dogs, particularly on the defensive side with your unit. And you mentioned about bringing this team together. Did you spend most, if not all, of your time here in Cambridge this summer, or did you get back? And probably kind of a short off season, or not much of an off season for you, with all your responsibilities.
Yes, sir. Yeah, not much of an off season, but man, we enjoyed it up here. We had a lot of guys up here. I was up here all summer doing our summer dogs program. Had about 70 guys up here at one point, 50 to 70. Getting some extra work in outside of just our workouts, some 7-on-7 time, just stuff to build our connections. I mean, obviously it's huge for the quarterback to throw with the receivers and things like that, but just scheme-wise too, being able to meet, watching film, things like that.
Yeah, just all the things that go into success on the field, how that translates it to the season. And looking at this defense, there's always changes from year to year, and I guess in particular, I'm just going to talk about your unit overall. Was a turnover that was expected at the linebacker position with a number of seniors that departed. Just judging from the first game, looking at that unit,
Some guys have already stepped up, and particularly you look at the performance of Jaden Kinlock from your defense, playing in his home state of Florida. He certainly made the most of the opportunity.
Yes, sir. I mean, what a sick opportunity for him to come back.
Right.
bunch of family and friends there, and just to go out there and have however many tackles he did. He's a great player. Yeah, we got a lot of depth at linebacker, so it'll be exciting to see this Saturday as well.
And it looks like the requisite depth will be there on the defensive line. I mean, it's a tradition going back to Coach Murphy to be able to run fresh horses in, or fresh dogs in this case, on the defensive line to get after the quarterback. As far as your unit, Ty, guys, some familiar faces there in your unit, particularly a guy that had not one but two turnovers on the afternoon, Damian Henderson. I remember him being inserted as a freshman early in the season 2 years ago because of some injuries. He got kind of an early taste of what it was like, and now he's one of the top veterans of that secondary as a cover guy at that corner position.
100%, yeah, Damian. We can throw him on whoever we need to, lockdown corner. He can play in the box. I mean, he can do everything we need. Smart football player, great kid. I mean, he's one of my best friends. Yeah, I mean, he's great to have on the field. If you had 11 Damian, I don't think you'd lose much.
And in tandem with you at the safety, the other safety position is Zayden Benson, also Duke Bradley, Jack Donahoe, all seeing action. As far as your responsibility at that position and really taking charge of that unit, I'm sure that you're the one that maybe can speak the loudest with your experience to these guys as you brought these guys along to get them ready for what is going to be the test of the season.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I mean, at DB, we call ourselves PVP. Can't tell you what it means, but it's the D group for the past 7 years. I don't know how long, but the DBs here are definitely a close group, tight knit, and we got a lot of depth at DB, man. I mean, mm-hmm. We got a lot of guys that can go in and play, a lot of shutdown corners, a lot of in the box, out the box safeties. As you said, Duke Bradley, Jack Donahoe, Zayden Benson, Mari Gales, a lot of guys. I mean, I could just name them all, but. Super excited to showcase the secondary.
And so importantly, Ty, so important, Ty, with the way the game is played today, you can't have enough guys to throw to, and as a result of that, you can't have enough guys that are going to be able to be comfortable in coverage.
Say that one more time, sorry.
What's that?
Say that one more time, sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. I said the way the game is played today with the spread offenses and multiple wideouts, you can't have enough cover guys to be successful. You really got to work in that area to make sure you get guys that are comfortable in coverage.
100%. Yeah, the game is definitely evolving, and especially with Brown, they'll do a lot of fun things on offense. So having a good secondary definitely helps.
No doubt, and you're coming off of a season where you. Actually, the last two seasons where you've had a number of accolades, two-time All-New England. You're All-Ivy first team a year ago, All-Ivy after coming All-Ivy second team the year before, and a number of preseason honors for you and watch list and All-American, etc. But as you look at it this year, it really comes down now to not only what you do on the field in the Ivy League, but the opportunity for a potential playoff berth. What did that mean? What was your reaction when that announcement was made? I know it was made in December. It was kind of an early Christmas present for everybody that's involved with Ivy League football.
Yeah, I feel like everyone involved is super excited. I mean, just to be able to showcase what we do in the Ivy League at a national level is awesome. I don't think it changes our day-to-day here. I think as long as we can control, we're going to go 10-0, win the Ivy League, and then make the playoffs. But right now, we're just worried about Brown going 1-0 and control what we can control.
And I think I'm talking to a guy that's not only the captain, but involved in a unit that will be most important, most prominent, and that is in the secondary. The Brown team that has been extremely prolific in the passing game. You look back to last season, 290 yards a game. They were among the top teams, the top in the Ivy League, but top teams in the nation. What about the scheme and test and preparing for really the unique challenge of this Brown team that can really loves to spread and throw?
Yeah. Definitely give them the credit. They got us last year. We definitely left a lot out there. Just watching back the film. Just alignment of assignment, things like that, things that we can control. We didn't do a great job. This week, coaches set up a great game plan. I'm excited to go out there and see what we can do in terms of just execution. But yeah, just trusting the coaches, trusting the scheme. They're putting us in great positions to make plays and do our jobs. So I'm definitely excited for Saturday night.
And they put 46 up against Georgetown and didn't seem to break stride. Jake Wilcox was a tremendous weapon for them from the quarterback position and the way that that he played. But now you've had a chance to take a look and get some fresh looks at James Murphy, who didn't have much opportunity last year behind Wilcox. But he looks like it's 6'5", 230 pounds. He's stepping right in at that position.
Yes, sir. Yeah, it definitely is. Big shoes to fill for him. And we're excited to get a look at him this weekend and see if we can get some takeaways.
You had some last week and won that all-important turnover battle, and I know that's a big part of the mantra for Coach Orrick about protecting the ball and disrupting the ball, and you guys had the advantage there. This weekend, you played high school football, a couple of different stops along the way there on your way to Harvard. A lot of night games in your high school career. Does this bring you back when you get a chance to play on a Friday, or in this case, a Saturday night in prime time under the lights?
Yeah, I mean, it's always awesome. At the end of the day, we're just going out there and playing football. I mean, we've been doing this, as you said, for years. I mean, even when we were playing little bitty league football, whatever it was. we're just excited to go out there and play ball. Under the lights, in the day, in the morning, it doesn't really matter.
And your background, of course, with your dad, Mike, a 13-year NFL veteran, and I believe has been back at Marshall now for the last few seasons where he was a Hall of Famer.
Yes, sir.
And big influence on you. He was actually also, I noted, a high school quarterback before he settled in as a tight end and a long snapper.
Yeah, no, Pops is the man. As you said, a bunch of accolades and things like that, but he's just the best man I've ever met, the best leader, person to follow in terms of how he carries himself and how he leads young men. Been great to have in my corner, most definitely. Yeah, definitely an athlete back in the day. Even pitched a little bit at Marshall. Not many people know that.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, a little bit. I had some scouts come and look at him every now and then. But stories that he'll tell us every now and then because he doesn't want to boast. But he definitely got some stories.
No doubt. Well, you might have note of this one, too. 11 career receptions, 6 for touchdowns. The only guy that's got a better percentage is Mike Vrabel, the coach of the Patriots.
Yeah. Coach Vrabel's got him on that one. But still pretty sweet to be up there with Vrabel.
Yeah. 6 for 11 isn't bad, Ty. Vrabel was 4 for 8, so he got more touchdowns in his career anyway, you know?
Yeah, there we go.
Not bad. And finally, with Saturday night and the challenge of Brown beginning the Ivy League schedule, all important. Would be remiss if we didn't talk about the special event, which will be the dedication, the official dedication of Tim Murphy Field. Tim, who dedicated you, who recruited you, with the field being dedicated this weekend, but who recruited you to Harvard. Your thoughts about Coach Murphy and this great honor that he's going to receive?
Yeah, Coach Murphy definitely deserves his flowers. What a great leader. Been here for many years and dominated at a high level. So it'd be great to have him out there. I mean, his name's on the field, 20 yards wide, and it definitely deserves to be that long.
And absolutely. 20 yards wide. Well said. Well, you'll cover those 20 and the other 80 all the way. You have a tendency to go sideline to sideline yourself in terms of the way that you impact and influence the game is from your safety position. So we'll look for that on Saturday night. Ty, thanks very much for joining us. Appreciate it, and best of luck here. Your journey just beginning here this season as the captain of the Harvard Crimson.
Appreciate you, Mr. Bernie.
Ty Bartram, our guest here, our Crimson profile here on Inside Harvard Football, presented by the Harvard Coop. Just like Harvard football, a Harvard tradition, the Harvard Coop since 1882.